Okay, well, cheers, queers.
Cheers.
Cheers, clink.
Clink, 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 clink.
Make eye contact.
Come on, Easterly, get in here.
Make eye contact.
I can't reach you. Great eye contact.
Thanks. I try to make it really uncomfortable.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Grab that paper towel.
I got you.
Well, friends, we have all gathered once more in the Queertown Clubhouse, and Kristen just spilled champagne on a pillow.
You have been on my ass all morning. I'm sorry.
It's a deflective drag.
Dear listeners, we've been drinking.
Dear listeners, we attempted to have brunch earlier, and I'm going to come right out of the gate and say that I messed up the waffles. That was me. But I wasn't the only one who maybe made a boo-boo.
Would you like to elaborate on who else may have made a boo-boo?
Definitely Oscar, but also maybe you, Kristen.
Is that so, Mace?
Well, your champagne was room temp.
Yeah, and I came with a plan. The plan was to put it somewhere cold.
Well, you know, we all need to go somewhere cold because once again, we are talking on Queertown, the podcast, about how fucking hot it is out there.
Yeah.
We were so innocent in that first episode. We're like, oh, it's so hot.
We didn't know.
It got so much worse.
Yeah. And it has just continued.
I recently just got back from Las Vegas where I took a work trip and it was 117 degrees of dry heat. Oh. And when I got back to Austin, I was like, oh my God, it's cool outside for the first time in months. Yeah. It was really bad.
Yeah, the other night, my friends in Large Brush Collection did the single release show for their new album. It was down at Sagebrush, and it was a great show. And I went out back after their set, and I'm just hanging out. And I was like, wow, it's kind of chilly out here. Looked at my phone. It was 95.
Yep. Oh, no.
That's what we're living in.
Okay, Oscar just went after a discarded brunch spoon. Thank you, Elizabeth, for helping out with that.
Listeners, it might be a little bit of chaos in the clubhouse today.
He's mischievous today.
Yeah, he's...
What a vibe. I fucking love him.
I swear that cat is assessing the fact that like we've all had at least one glass of champagne and is manipulating that to his advantage. how is everybody doing, though? I feel like it's been a few weeks since we've all been together.
I feel jet-lagged, which sounds crazy because I haven't left the U.S., but I have been to the West, which feels like a whole different country.
Mm. How so?
Well, it's way brighter up there for much longer of the day, so I felt like I was never in darkness, which, you know, could be interesting to some people.
Yeah.
To me, I was like, I need to sleep. Please, can I just have a little bit more darkness? Yeah.
That's very fair.
So I'm just tired, but...
Wait, otherwise. Question. Did you, like, think about moving the blinds in the end?
Oh, wow.
Do you see this? Do you two see what's happening?
I see it.
We got an hour.
I'm sorry. I just had to throw that question.
Well, I was in hotels, so I didn't have a lot of control over the light situation. But when I had a blind present, I did pull that. I pulled it down.
Good, good. As a close friend, I just had to ask that question.
Mm-hmm. I hope my answer was satisfactory.
All four of us have done a bit of traveling.
So we have.
Last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I needed to get the fuck out of town for a bit.
Yeah,
and out of town you went.
And out of town I went. Yeah, I was in Greece, y'all. It was the first time I've been to that part of the world, and it was pretty cool. I have a cousin who's half Greek, so I got to really get to know the other side of his family. And It's funny because everyone kept calling me the Irish cousin, which I suppose in relation to him I am, but I have like no connectivity to Ireland or any of the culture, even though I am genetically Irish. So it was very funny to be like, I guess.
How funny would it have been for you to just start speaking in an Irish accent?
Couldn't even do that.
Yeah. That's a hard one to pull out.
Oh, such a good one.
Yeah, I wish I could. I don't even know where to begin, so I won't.
I mean, you have an Irish appearance.
So absolutely.
I feel like
I have an Irish name.
They just went first thought and they were like, you're the Irish cousin.
Yeah, because I guess what do you say, like, oh, you're the other side?
What was your brother?
Probably the same thing.
Same though.
The just Irish like a separate conversation that I wasn't there for. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Greece, one of the interesting things about it is that it was also really hot over there, but it would cool down at night. Mm. I feel like that's been one of the hardest parts psychologically about coming back to Texas is like, it's just a endless thing. And obviously it will end at some point. We're just like, yeah. What, 22, 23 days into this heat wave at this point, about to break a record. By the time this airs, we probably will have broken that record.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been challenging. I've traveled a lot. I think I've taken 7 trips in 6 months, what I'm going for.
Wow.
Which has been like fun, some of it for work, some of it personal, but part of me is ready to stay in the same place and like not travel around, but I also want to get the fuck out of this heat wave. So I'm like, okay, maybe 1 or 2 more trips just to like make it through, get out, get somewhere cooler. And then I'll probably hunker down for the fall and like enjoy it.
Yeah.
I feel I've taken, you know, some days off recently just to do nothing. Like I've been just moving around so much that I'm like, cool, you know what? It's time to
Oscar.
Do nothing. Unlike Oscar. He was doing everything.
Yeah, I just saw a blueberry fall out of his mouth.
You fucker.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay. That was pretty much it.
Where's your favorite place you've been?
Oh, that's hard. Mm. Portugal and Spain. Ooh. That was gorgeous and amazing.
Yeah.
So hilly, so beautiful, beautiful weather. And then San Francisco. Okay. It was my first time going as an adult. Went for Pride.
Nice.
Had a fucking blast. Nice. It was 60 degrees outside.
Oh.
It was cold and I was like shit-eating grin, like frozen cheeks, frozen ears, just so happy.
Okay, quick. What was the best visual that you saw at Pride in San Francisco?
Okay, so I actually did go to the like Civic Center and like go see the like actual Pride. And the amount of naked people that I saw just kind of on the sidelines, like being wallflowers, but like dancing along, everything kind of jiggling. That was a great visual. And also the Dyke March. The Dyke March was beautiful. It's like 3 times as big as the Dyke March in Austin. And it felt really powerful and joyous. And, you know, everybody was kind of coming out of their houses to cheer us on and join in with us, whether they were dykes or not dykes. Yeah, those were my 2 kind of favorite moments, visual moments, I guess.
Wow, what a dream. That all sounds amazing.
It was funny because I went to San Francisco for Pride with a bunch of friends. And then I was like, wait, I don't like large crowds of people. Like, what the fuck am I doing? But I did get to enjoy like the rest of San Francisco and kind of did like a half and half of like doing Pride things and then doing not Pride things.
Yeah.
I do think that San Francisco as a city is like uniquely set up so that you can easily hop elsewhere.
Yeah.
And kind of do your own thing. Mm-hmm. 'Cause Javi and I did Sketchfest a few years ago out there, which was a lot of fun, but the connectivity of things within at least like the main downtown area through the Castro, it's pretty easy to get around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun trip. We were all just like, we just kind of kept running into each other, but everybody was like doing their own thing and it was very fun.
Speaking of doing my own thing, earlier this week, I went to Hippie Hollow, which was the first time I had been out there, Javi, since we had actually recorded a movie years ago where we played like a couple who was embarrassed to go skinny dipping.
Yes.
And it was very funny to be back because I was kind of back for like a sexy time.
Yeah.
And, it was just interesting because there wasn't a lot of people there. It was midweek, so it was kind of like a low-key morning. But there were a lot of older men who were hanging out in the trees. So when you were talking about seeing naked people as like wallflowers off on the sidelines, it was like, oh, I have an immediate memory.
Yes. Recent immediate memory.
Did it feel like they were specifically watching you?
I think there was like a voyeur aspect to what they were doing. Mm-hmm. It also kind of felt like that was just like how they were doing their thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily always connected to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've been there outside of us filming that. Everyone should know Call Me By Your Name had just come out. It was very much the spirit that our filmmaker was taking us.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I had never been. I've never been since. Yeah.
I hadn't been since, and that was years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And this was interesting because I went with a boy, and we were making out in the water, and it was like the perfect temperature to be like fully naked in water. Highly, highly recommend if you're looking for just like a PG-13, but also maybe not PG-13.
No, you were fully experience. Naked.
Like, how do you define rated R?
I'm like, oh, full frontal is PG-13, y'all, mm-hmm, right? That, yeah. That's how they classify
maybe these
things?
We should all get comfortable with bodies enough for that to be PG-13.
Yeah.
That was the interesting question, though, and I would like to throw that back to the group, is while I was out there, I was trying to be honest with myself. Can I take the sexualization out of a naked body when I see it, or is it part of it? And I think for me, if I'm being fully honest with myself, I am not yet able to see a naked body without having some sexualization of it.
But isn't that like a biological response?
Probably.
Like to be reading somebody and like your level of attraction to them because of like, I don't know, biologically, like the drive to mate, but I don't know, we're all gay. I don't know. I feel like it would maybe take a little bit more of like self-awareness and like thought to be like, oh, I'm gonna not sexualize someone. I don't fucking know. I don't walk around sexualizing people all the time, though.
I don't think I do either, but I think it's because so rarely do I see genitals.
Mm-hmm.
Like that specifically, I almost exclusively see in a sexual context, or it's like I'm at the gym or something.
Yeah.
But in those instances, I've trained myself to like immediately look away. But this was interesting because it could be like, you know, a prolonged stare if I felt so inclined and the other person felt receptive to that.
Mm-hmm.
And like because like you're pretty comfortable with nudity,
mm-hmm,
right? I distinctly remember us shooting this thing and Mace was like, I mean, I'll get naked if that's what will work for the shot. And me thinking like, do I have to be like, I will not. not comfortable. He can do that, not me.
Well, it's funny because it was the reverse because I was playing the character that was anxious to get
right.
naked. And then you were playing the one who like got naked first. And obviously there's going to be more screen time or just like time on set with that being the physical reality.
Yes. Speaking of naked, I will tell one anecdote from my trip that I told you a little bit about on mm-hmm. our call, but I went to Puerto Vallarta. I summer there. I go for a week every year this was our third trip. But we always go around the time of Keith, my boyfriend's birthday. And so we usually set up his birthday as like we get breakfast, we lay out on the beach and just like relax. And then I usually arrange some sort of a massage and then like dinner. And that's usually kind of like what the day goes like. So this time we decided to do a different spa. So I was looking around at spas and I found a spa in Puerto Vallarta that was just for men. And I did my due diligence and I did some searching around because I was like, I do not think that this is a bathhouse situation. I do not think that this is a sexy situation. But it's definitely gay because that's PV's mm-hmm. just super gay. So mm-hmm. anyways, we set this day up and we go and it's very different from our past experiences where we've done like a very couples thing. Like we're in the same room, we're getting a massage. This was different. They separated us. And it's a men's spa. So we've gotten massages, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like most massage therapists are like super trained in like that blanket origami where mm-hmm. they can kind of like wrap you up to protect like any dignity or inappropriateness. that did not exist at this men's spa. Literally, like, I walked in and they were like, give me your towel. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to be fully naked. And I was like, I mean, I guess that's what's happening. I guess this is a men's spa and that's what this is. And I'm not the most comfortable with nudity. It just makes me anxious. But it was fine. I'd had an edible and like a tiny bit of shroom. So I was able to like relax into the massage. Mm-hmm. And that was fine. But the second portion of the spa treatment was... They took me out of this room and they handed me off to another gentleman.
And you're still naked?
I am still naked. yeah. And I'm like, thank you for your service.
They're parading you around.
Nice to meet you. And he takes me into this room. And I knew that this was going to happen, but they call them these Vichy showers. Hmm. So it's you basically walk into an enormous shower and there is a bed in the middle and you lay down and there's these three jets of water that are just like raining down on you. Mm. And this guy comes, like, he like pulls us in and he was like, I'm gonna do it, so you go ahead and lay down. And then he starts taking his clothes off. He just takes his shirt off. But I was just like, oh. And I'm like anxious and I'm like, is this happening in the other room with my boyfriend? Like, is he gonna be like, did you get a hot masseuse? And I'm gonna have to be like, no. Kind of cute. And then, yeah, he bathed me, essentially. It was a body scrub, but under this shower. And I was like, well, essentially, you're bathing me. That's what's happening here.
So you're on a table.
Yes.
And there's water coming down on you.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you were in a Britney Spears music video?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, honestly, like, once I was able to, like, relax into it, and once afterwards I was able, like, Keith was like, we were like, this was okay, right? And he was like, it was kind of amazing. And I was like, right? It was kind of amazing. Mm. But it was, yeah, it was a really interesting experience.
I mean, how intimate and tender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and like, you know, I started face down and I was like, well, is there a face up portion of this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was. He was like, go ahead and turn over. And I was like, okay.
I have to say my one question is, how do you keep the water out of your face and eyes?
It's basically like they position you on the bed where like the water is falling.
Okay. Cause that's all I would be able to think about is like water in my eyes and just, ah.
Yeah, no, it was real well thought out,
wow.
But it was pretty amazing.
And this was all on Keith's birthday.
This was all, I was like, man, this could really derail the romance of the evening.
That would be so funny. You're like mid-experience and like the door busts open.
No, trust me. It crossed my mind. I was like, we're leaving. Is he going to call this off? But no, I think we were both like very like giggly schoolgirls after. I was like, did your guys take his shirt off? Mine too.
Wait, so in a situation like that, how do y'all kind of like check in with each other? Because obviously you can't really in the moment. So is it more like, okay, you just like kind of bank on the fact that like afterwards you'll both debrief on it?
Yeah, no, we found ourselves in the little shower, like the little locker room area. And I think I finished first. But like he just walked in and I was like, oh, was it? And he was like, I feel incredible. And I was like, okay, great, cool. We can settle it. And then like we went to dinner after that. And I was like, that was crazy, right? Like, we were just washed by other men.
Well, I hear that Korean spas are... I have not been to one myself, but I've heard the experiences of some of my friends that they scrub you and they get into every nook and cranny that you have. And there is no modesty. And, you know, they're cleaning that filth out of there.
I have often thought that the most intimate experience possible would be like a combination of what we're describing here. Mm-hmm. It would be being bathed by someone else in a river.
In a river?
In a river.
Like a baptism?
Because you have to like...
I'm so sorry.
So years ago, there was this movie with Britt Marling called The East that
came out. Oh my God. I was like, just thinking about this.
Yes. And like, it has stuck with me because I saw it with my brother and we both had a conversation afterwards. Like, her character really had to like release all control. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Elliot Page and Alexander Skarsgård were bathing her, which like sounds like a great setup, but is like the obvious caveat of like, you have to fully trust these other people. Like you're in moving water. It's kind of dirty water, but it's also clean enough to bathe you. And then just fully letting other people hold your body and scrub it. Like that to me, I think sounds both euphoric and really difficult.
And just to set the scene up a little bit more, like there is a conversation about consent that happens in that moment. And, you know, there are a lot of different bodies in the water and different people in the water. And so it's a really, really beautiful moment. Also have to caveat this with, it's kind of a cult setting.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a cult film. Mm-hmm. All Brett Marling films kind of have this like culty element. I love her work. I am so obsessed with her.
Same. Well, Kristen, how are you?
Good. Other than tired. Mm-hmm. But I should probably express why. Because by the end of this month, I will have been in 5 states.
Holy fuck.
I think that's insane.
Throughout July?
Throughout July.
And these are all for work trips, right?
Except one.
Okay.
One was a fun trip. And one I live here.
Okay, that's good that you're counting
what
Texas.
Yeah,
I have to.
I'm like, where have you been?
So Texas, Tejas, Colorado, Oregon. I just got back from Arkansas, and then I'm going to Chicago tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah.
Holy wow.
I know. So I'm a little tired. But yeah, I'm good. I'm just kind of vibing, like coasting through the airports and
Yeah, is there anything that you're just totally, like, used to at this point that used to kind of bother you with travel?
Lack of blinds, question mark?
Oh, I'm curious if it's like this for you, because I used to have a job where I traveled a lot, and truly, I was like, my personality is airport. Like, I am my best self in airports. I know how to handle my life. I know how to navigate airports. So, like, I always felt very great about myself.
That is so fascinating. I feel like the worst version of myself in an airport.
Yeah. Most people do.
I don't feel like I'm the best version of myself, but I do feel like I'm other people's worst nightmare when it comes to traveling.
Wait, why?
Because I'm so used to traveling, like I have it down to at least going to the Austin airport, like a bit of a science.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know what time I need to leave my house. I know what pre-check's going to look like. I know what Southwest is going to look like for the most part. And every once in a while I'm surprised, but for the most part, I've got it down. And when I'm traveling with other people, they're like, okay, we're going to get there at this time. I'm like, that is an hour too early for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be there at this time. And if they call my boarding number, don't worry. I'll be there. Just like, it'll be fine. And it stresses like all my friends out.
That's their problem.
It is. But then I make it my problem because then I don't want them to feel like stressed. So I just go early and then I'm bummed out because now I have to sit there for an hour and a half earlier than I needed to.
I hesitate to say this on the pod. But are y'all familiar with the secret checkpoint? The secret security checkpoint.
What? At the Austin airport?
Yes.
What?
This has been my favorite discovery of all time. So they have 2 checkpoints at either ends of the airport, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that are normally insane.
Yeah.
Not too long ago when I almost missed my flight, I learned that there is a secret checkpoint in the middle of those 2 checkpoints behind the like check-in counters, you know? Mm-hmm. It kind of like, it's... There's this like narrow passageway and you think it just goes behind the check-in counters. It is a third checkpoint and there is no one there ever. And they can't say, unless it's like closed, they can't say like, no, you can't go to this checkpoint. So I always just be like, is it open? Cool. I'm going here. And it takes me 5 minutes to get through security. I don't have TSA pre-check. I don't have clear. I don't have anything. I love it.
I do know this checkpoint. Sometimes they don't let you in. Like sometimes they do tell you to go to the opposite one. Mm-hmm. And this last trip I took, I had to take that one. And it was the longest I've ever waited.
Oh no.
That used to be the main checkpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember that's the one I used to use a lot when I traveled quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Historically speaking. Mm-hmm.
Well, it has been my new secret weapon where I'm just like, I'm going to go here and you can't stop me. I'm like, fight me. I'm determined.
I'm moving on through. Watch out. You're like Oscar.
Yeah, exactly. I'm eating that blueberry and that donut.
Well, y'all, how do we feel about some hot topics?
Hot topic. Hot
topic. Hot. It's so hot.
So hot. I love it.
It's so good.
This is my first time hearing that on the board in real time.
We really put some beautiful sounds into that.
Mm-hmm. Some horny sounds. Some
horny sounds, I might say. Well, I have a hot topic for y'all. And that is about something that I've been noticing within queer spaces. So I'd love to talk about it on the show, which is fast friendships. I think we're all familiar with romantic couples, particularly lesbians, who U-Haul relationships. But I think within the queer community, it's also really common to U-Haul friendships and to have this like really fast, really vibrant connection that, you know, leads to a friendship that's, you know, it feels just as fun and exciting sometimes as romantic relationships. And then sometimes it's with like the most chaotic person you've ever met in your life. It's with someone who has no boundaries. Or you're like seeing a friend do this, right? And it's like, okay, like this person that like is suddenly like super close within your circle, like, I don't know about that person. Yeah, that's kind of my hot topic throwout for today.
This is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I just had thoughts formed in my head and they just whoosh right out. So I moved back to Austin right before the pandemic. I had been gone for a couple of years and I don't really keep up with people I went to high school with, because I'm a completely different person now than I was when I left Austin. And so, you know, it was kind of a struggle for me to like make friends and build like really solid friendships throughout the pandemic. And, you know, I made some friends where it was kind of that dynamic of like, oh, it became like we connected so hard, so fast. And like looking back on the origin of those friendships, I'm like, oh, like, I think I missed some red flags because I like felt so good to be seen and to see somebody else and be like, oh, we're like one of the same, you know, we're peas in a pod or birds from the same flock, and be like, oh, okay, yeah, we vibe, we can build community. And then, you know, as the friendship progressed, being like, oh, actually there are some pretty strong differences here. Like, how do I retroactively place boundaries where there haven't been any? Yeah. And it's been a learning experience for me for sure. So yeah, I think I have a little bit more apprehension in terms of like building friendships, of like letting it be a slow roll and learning each other over time before I like am so vulnerable with another person.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take.
Well said.
Okay. All you, boo.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I also have a tendency to, especially in recent years, develop very strong and intense friendships. I don't know. It's just sort of this thing that I kind of fell into, and they kind of always kind of bite me in the butt. I feel like one kind of blows up in my face every summer, seems like, and so I'm kind of in the midst of one right now, so this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
hence why I wanted number three. So yeah, I don't know, I'm interested to like hearing what other people like do and how they unpack these sort of things, but to me, it's, as someone who doesn't experience like love a lot in the romantic sense, and I feel like I put a lot of that on my friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a lot of intense, like powerful friendships that maybe get a little chaotic and a little out of control, and then we have those moments of like pulling back sort of abruptly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, this is like so intense for a friendship, but it's just how that friendship unfolded to begin with. And
I get that completely. Yeah. I think that there's certain like instances where like I, as a single person, connect with another single person and it's not objectively romantic, mm-hmm. but there is this like shared wink and a nod, right? Of like, oh, well, like we could give more into this than perhaps someone who's in a relationship. And I don't think that's ever outwardly said, but I think it's just sort of like intuitively understood. And yeah, there was someone that I had like a really fast friendship with this spring. And I think like we've been saying, it felt like really electrifying and exciting. And then there were certain things where it's like, oh, like we're at a space where like a lot of this guy's exes are.
Uh-huh.
And like there's a lot of exes who are here, and they're all being kind of awkward towards you. And, you know, it's like little things like that that were popping up that aren't like outwardly awful or red flags. But it's like, oh, I didn't really know that you were like that style of dater.
So this was in a friendship capacity, though, for you? Gotcha. Okay.
I think it also brings up this like question that I have, or maybe experiences I've had in the past where, you know, I was single and I used some friendships as like a placeholder for the connection that I had with somebody that I was in a relationship with. Like that energy that I had in that relationship just kind of shifted into some friendships that were in an entirely platonic capacity, but I was investing so much. I was being that like level of intimate and vulnerable. And then, you know, when another relationship popped up, I would like kind of shift that energy back and pull back a bit in that friendship. And it also caused a rift in some of those friendships because I was, you know, I wasn't showing up in the same way, and that unfolded in a weird way. I know that's kind of off topic of our initial hot topic.
No, I think it's a really logical extension because there are certain friendships that do change when you enter into like a new situationship, a romantic relationship or whatever, because you're just like leaning on people in a different way. And I have had certain people who get a little like territorial.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, like I need to meet this person you're hanging out with. I need to like approve them. I need to co-sign. It's like, hey, like my like interest in you hasn't changed. It's just sort of, you know, like I'm poly, but with I'm not being poly with you because we're not in that way.
Well, I like to say like I have an infinite amount of love, but a finite amount of energy where like I might have to readjust where I'm spending my time and where I'm putting my energy. But that doesn't mean that my love for this person and this relationship and this friendship, whatever, is gone. You know, it's like I can still love you and also not be as available right now and might need to shift that elsewhere. But yeah, I don't know. I think of some of the like I don't want to call them toxic friendships that I've jumped into really quickly. I look back on like the relationships that I've jumped into pretty quickly and like how those blew up in my face. And I'm like, oh, like, do I see a similar pattern here? Do I see a similar dynamic and unfolding happening?
Yeah, I think there's like an interesting through line just being queer, right? Because I think like, I used to run a gay men support group as a therapist, and it was so interesting to me because like going into running that group, this was for mostly like freshman students in college. I thought a lot of the focus was going to be on like coming out and identity development, but like for a lot of these students, it was like the first time of them like being able to talk about this with other people, and everybody was like, okay, I did it. I'm out. Where's my boyfriend? How do I find a boyfriend? Right. And so it's like, oh, there's like such an energy when like you first come out of like, oh, I've like come over this hump and now I want to find a lover. So I think like that is there. And then there's also like a hunger for community. Right. So like, I don't know, just speaking for myself, like in gay male spaces, right? It's often like, are we friends? Are we something else? Like, are you into something else?
Yep.
Like, what do you think I'm wanting in this? And it can be like, I can be real challenging to navigate.
Oh, it can be so scary. It feels like the stakes are so high. Because there was like once upon a time where I was hooking up with someone and he goes, hey, like, what are you into? I was like, oh yeah, like we really kind of like bulldozed through that conversation, which totally should have happened before we were both naked. And that like same vibe, I think I've felt with certain people that I've experienced fast friendships with.
Yeah.
And I think especially like I didn't have a lot of gay friends growing up. And so that was something that was also new to me when I started dating. And so it was like, how did I signal that, you know, level of attraction wasn't there or whatever with that style of a relationship. That was also a skill set I had to learn. And I distinctly remember a few years ago, I got like really drunk with someone and we were having a fast friendship and we were having this conversation about how we were soulmates. And that I've seen pop up a few times with people where it's like, are we really soulmates or is it just like, it feels so good to connect in this moment? And I don't know why that is, but somehow it just feels really good to have a connection.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of just existing in this world is so lonely. So when you do find those moments of a connection that does feel so strong in whatever capacity, whether it's a friendship capacity or romantic capacity, you just like don't want to let that go, because it's like, this is something completely different and something completely safe. And I feel that intuitively in this moment, and I don't want to let it go. Mm-hmm. So I get like sort of stumbling into those moments, but I don't know. I kind of lost steam on that note.
No, I get completely what you're putting down, because Kristen, I feel like you and I, over the years that we've known each other, have like gone to house parties and we've connected with everyone there. Mm-hmm. And like we walk out and like everyone knows our name. Everyone's like, oh my God, Kristen and Mace.
Yes.
but it's like, wait, like how intentional was any of that? And it is different, right? It is different because we've all been to a house party where it's like, we did not gel with anyone there. We did not, you know, want to stick around that long. And so it does feel good to kind of like win over an entire house.
I have this fantasy, and fantasy might be strong. Fantasy is way too strong for what I'm about to say, but who knows? I feel the rush. Anyway.
addicted to your touch.
Trace about 2023.
But no, my fantasy is, I have so many phone numbers in my like phone of random people that I just meet and like connect with. I'm like, we have to be friends forever. And I want to invite them all to a party and just like see if we still mesh and see if like it's just like a party full of amazing people that I've connected with.
What a wonderful social experiment.
Right? This is also like, this is like a going to a wedding energy. like an out of town wedding where like you go and you meet people and like you're kind of forced to party with them, or like maybe even like bachelor party, and you're like, this is incredible. We're gonna remember this forever. I had this recently because I went to a bachelor party and it was like half my friends and half people I didn't know. This is all straight men too, so there's that element to it too. But like walked away from that weekend just like, good dudes, man, that was fun. We really like broed out. It was great. And then I got to the wedding and I was like, oh, this is fucking weird.
You're like, I've seen things that I cannot unsee.
Stick to my friends. I'll see y'all later.
The moment's gone.
I think I also have a question about like the difference between, say, going to a house party and having like great connections with people that have a low level of attachment, and then jumping into a fast friendship where there's a connection and then there's a high level of attachment. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are different kinds of fast friends, quote unquote, where like, you know, you go to a house party, you make all of these connections, but like maybe you don't necessarily walk away with like steadfast friendships from those interactions, versus like you have a connection with someone, there's a high level of attachment, and then you become like enmeshed and like very close friends. And then, you know, what unfolds from there?
No, that's a good point. Because it is very different. There's definitely a level of separation just inherently when you meet someone at a party versus when you're sitting down with someone and having like an intimate conversation, which can also happen at a party.
Yep.
Like I've definitely told people way too much stuff at a house party.
Oh, I've been that guy too, for sure. Yep.
Oh my God. Literally, a week ago, I was at a bar on a date, and there was a woman there who I had met maybe 2 months prior, and we had done shrooms together and had this full conversation for like an hour, hour and a half, where we opened up to each other about all of these things that were like super heavy and like were really weighing on us at the moment. And I like walked by the booth that she was sitting in and she didn't remember me.
Oh,
oh, you did the whole like, hey, thing?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that was me on the other side recently.
Oh no.
And I felt so bad. Apparently, I had a very beautiful moment with someone at Bonnaroo. And of all places to not remember, I'm so sorry. If you're listening, Priscilla, I'm so sorry. I met her again, and I was like, oh, hi, I'm Kristen. And she's like, yeah, we met. And I was like, uh-huh, tell me all about it. I just... And yeah, it was a beautiful moment. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, I don't remember that.
Wow, the ways we humble ourselves.
This is going to be so off topic, but I had, living in Austin, like being born and raised in Austin, I left for a while and coming back, I've been confronted with the like past lives of me, like me in high school and like me in middle school and like running into people that I knew during that time and like kind of like takes me back. But I was at Uchiko, and I ran into somebody that I guess I hung out with. This person was like romantically interested in me. And like, I immediately remembered him, but also was like, I don't know who I know you through, how I know you. It's like my brain had blocked it out. Mm-hmm. And so I like said hi and then like went and did my thing. And I was so hard trying to avoid this person because I didn't want to be confronted of this like high school version of me. And like, he came up to like try and say something to me and I was so avoiding eye contact. I thought he was just waiting to get a drink at the bar. No, he was waiting for me and I just completely avoided eye contact with this person. I was like, I'm going to pretend you don't exist. I'm so invested in the conversation that I'm having right now. And yeah, I felt like such a dick, but I was like, I can't handle this. Like, I don't want to, you know, have a conversation about 10 years ago. Yeah. Like, I'm good. We're good to see you. Bye. The end.
Yeah. I went to a film screening a few weeks ago and I went by myself and I arrived way more stoned than I thought I would have. I thought it was going to really hit in the middle of the movie, but it hit on the drive over. And I get in and there's this guy who I had loosely worked with for a few years, who's in the lobby of AFS. And I'm like, fuck my life.
Yeah.
Same as you. I did not come out as a good person in that scenario because it was like, and my cell phone screen is now the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. Nothing else has ever looked as interesting. I deeply have to put my face close to my cell phone screen.
I mean, I was like, I'm being such a bitch right now, but also this is what I need to do to protect myself. Oh, like, yeah. I don't want to have this interaction. I do not want to be confronted with whatever this friendship used to be. I'm not interested. We've moved on. Like, I'm going to continue my life. Oops.
At least with avoiding eye contact, it almost feels like you didn't see them.
Yeah.
I had it happen where I looked someone in the eye and then immediately turned around and walked away.
Oh, he was in eyesight. He was in eyesight. And I just was like, I am dead set on staring right in front of me and looking nowhere else. I'm not going to look at this person.
Oh man, I can't remember who this was, which I think makes it so much funnier, but I walked into a space where I didn't expect to see someone. I saw someone, we made eye contact, and then I looked away, and then 3 seconds later, I looked back and was like, oh my God, hey.
Like, and scene. Okay, hi.
Yeah, well, the actor prepares.
Yeah, this performer had to go into performer mode. Let me tell you what.
Yep. Oh.
Oh, man. Well, I think that just to wrap up this whole conversation on fast friendships is why it is so fascinating, right? Because it's like we have the people we connect with and then we have the people we don't connect with. And when it does happen, it does feel very magical and special because we've all been through these moments where it feels like absolute hell.
Yeah.
Well, gang, stick around, because when we come back, we'll be playing a round of Queer Town Quiz Time. See you soon.
Such a long pour.
And the audio file name, I'm looking at it now, is PP Wine Pour. Well, welcome back to Queer Town. My name is Mace Kerwick, and today I am hosting the one and only Queer Town Quiz Time, where Charlie and Javi will be competing for the love and affection of Kristen. This is a game show where subjective questions have objective winners. Contestants, are we ready to dive in?
Let's do this.
Let's go. Okay, so I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 20. What am I thinking of? Whoever's closest will go first.
14.
6.
I was thinking of lucky number 5.
Yes!
All right. Okay.
Fuck.
So, Charlie, you're up first.
Okay.
As always, we will alternate, so you will take the second question second.
Let's do this.
All right.
You come out of your house to find a fuck you letter in handwritten letters tucked into a windshield wiper on your car. What do you do next?
I don't read the letter. You know, there was probably a more respectful way to communicate whatever I had done wrong to me other than a fuck you letter. So I'm going to shred it or burn it and then move along with my day and, you know, try and be mindful of how I'm operating through the world. But yeah, fuck you letter, fuck you.
Amazing. Javi, how do you respond?
I'm going to take a picture of it and post it on Instagram. And then I'm going to go full Sherlock Holmes and find this person and challenge them to a physical fight. I've been wanting to fight lately.
Oh my gosh.
I kind of want to get into a fight. I think I'd be okay at it.
Okay, Kristen, we have two very different responses in front of us. What's resonating? What is feeling right? Do you have any follow-up questions before we decide our winner?
Sorry, your face when you said, I really want to fight. It's just so good.
I mean, I kind of like the process that Javi's taking. Like, he's posting it online. He's doing the work to find this person. Mm-hmm. And a duel?
Yeah.
Sign me up. But I appreciate your
thank you.
Your passiveness. And I wanted a better word than passive because it was very brave.
Yeah.
To take the high road.
Hashtag brave. Hashtag brave.
Yeah.
But it's got to go to Javi.
So that actually happened to me.
No.
Yeah. It happened in high school. And I still don't know who left that letter.
Do you know why?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I just assume it's like a parking thing most of the time.
That's my assumption. Okay. Yeah. But it was written in like big bold letters that with like a Sharpie. And I'm so curious as to like the thought process that someone had.
It's very, I know I what you did last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm lucky that that's all they did.
Yeah, right.
Could have been a lot worse.
I left my neighbor a note once.
Did it say fuck you on it?
No, it's it. It said, invite me to the party or turn down the bass.
Okay, talk about things that are passive.
I love the options.
That sounds like a Real Housewives tagline.
Yeah. Oh, that yeah, right, it does. Mm-hmm.
What if they invite you and you don't like anyone there?
Then now I know.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Then turn down the bass.
Then turn down the bass. I'll turn it off as I walk out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is a good one. Javi, I think this might be your question, but I'm going to ask it to you.
Okay.
It's the last quarter of the big game. I don't know why, but you, a queer person, have been put in charge of giving the inspirational speech to the team to get them to win the game. Do your speech.
Guys, I don't know much, okay? I don't know how this game works or how we got into this position where we are 37 points behind. But you go out there, you step your pussies up, and you bring this victory home because our town needs it.
Three, two, one. Wow, yes.
Thanks. Amazing. Okay, Charlie, do your speech.
Sports ball. You can do it. You got this. Keep your eye on the sports ball. Grow some lips. You got this. You can do it. Take that HGH. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's go. Three, two,
one. Wow.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Okay, so yours, Javi, you took me there.
Thanks.
I got the drive, the passion behind.
I was
behind.
Going Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, I felt that small town divided. The team is the only way to bring them back together.
Yeah, and you needed the economic side of it, too, right. Yeah. Which like you brought in with the town. Like, the town needed this win. It's been a rough year.
And Charlie, I think the sheer chaos in that speech would confuse me enough to be like, yeah, I am going to go do it. I am going to go touch a ball and put it somewhere.
That's exactly what I was going for.
So I think I would have to go with Charlie on this one.
Thank you so much.
Oh.
Amazing how much better I am at using the soundboard when I have the labels in front of me.
Gorge. Also, that sound bit is a giving Barbie dance party.
It is.
Wow. It really is. Yeah. Does anyone else think about death? Okay, so we have an even game now. This is huge. Okay, question number three. Let's see how this shakes things up. You've been given a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to create an original show at Alan Cumming's nightclub and cabaret venue, Club Cumming, in Manhattan. This is a real space. Pitch your show. The only caveat is that it must include full frontal nudity at some point. Charlie, you're up first.
Fuck. I don't know who Alan Cumming is. Sorry. I think it is... asking strangers off of the street to just slowly walk around on stage fully naked, like blank, dead eyes, making eye contact with audience members. That's it.
Okay, Javi, take that sip because you are up next.
Okay, Club Cumming, greatest club in the world. Yeah, it's going to be a one-man show. It is me slowly disrobing because, as discussed previous on this podcast, I'm very uncomfortable with nudity. And I do a one-man rendition of All 9 Hours of Angels in America.
Well, I got to go with Javi, mainly because the intense eye contact would be too much for me.
Yeah, that's the point.
It's challenging. Art is challenging.
Yeah. Art is not a challenge I'm willing to take right now.
Kristen's looking for easily digestible art.
Correct.
Lots of fiber.
I think our former co-host, Laura De La Fuente, has been to Club Cumming, which is why that question came to mind.
Oh, I've been there twice.
How was it?
Oh, God, it's so much fun. I went there on like a friend of the pod, Dylan, and other friends of the pod, Kincaid, the improv group, a bunch of straight guys. We went there and it was like obscure disco night and it was incredible. It was so great.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Yeah. Charlie, I can't believe you don't know who Alan Cumming is. He played
I'm sure I do.
The MC in Cabaret and he's done it for like decades.
Okay.
More importantly, he's done a lot of like mainstream stuff. Like he was in, I think, The Good Wife,
yes,
X-Men
the Good Wife.
2.
The Blue Guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler.
Yeah. Okay. See, names not so good with. Faces, I do better at.
Mm-hmm. Faces are better. Good to know. Good to know. You were also the baby of the bunch, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Charlie mentions their age.
Yeah, that can replace whatever the hell. I don't even know where it is.
Mace mentions his age. Mace mentions his
age. It can replace that. Nothing can replace that, actually.
No, the baby one stays. Okay. Who's go first?
I go first.
Javi's first with this one. Okay, great. And you picked Javi?
I did.
Two again.
Yes.
Two to one. Yes.
Wow. I did. The icon.
Really staying focused here. Okay. We live in a multiverse storytelling world now. Give me your top three other universe versions of you.
Oh, God. There is... I feel like there's like a disco me. I feel like I would have done well during that time. So I think that that's one. I think a Lego version of me would be fun. I feel like I have a block face. So that's one. Oh, man. I think it's all...
Yeah, Javi, you might have just disqualified yourself. You only got two. Okay, Charlie, let's see if you can do three.
Okay, there's a version of me in which I go full into dance mode and like am now a professional dancer. That's crazy to think about. I think there's also probably goth me who never got off drugs and is just like so emo and goth and doing a lot of drugs. And then there's I don't know, purple Charlie. That's the only thing I could think of so fast. I'm all purple. Like that song, I'm blue, but I'm purple.
I'm purple, dab-a-dee-dab-a-dee. Okay, well, you at least got three. Do we need to give this to Charlie on a technicality?
No.
I don't know, do we?
Well, Javi didn't get three. He only said two.
Hers were also objectively better than
But they were
different.
You could also
different. Give it to her on merit. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can to for the integrity of the game.
God,
since Javi did not produce three,
this is on me.
Answers
the sanctity. Well, this is good because that way it means that this last question is the deciding vote of this round of Queer Town Quiz Time. Okay, Wow, this is such a great question. Charlie, you must have written this one. Leslie Cochran visits you in a dream. Tell us what you would do if you could spend 24 hours with him in this dream.
All right, we are taking a tandem bike ride up and down South Congress, and then we're hopping off that bike, and we're going to go to Barton Springs Pool, and we're just going to bend over and flash our assholes at random strangers. And then maybe we'll smoke a joint or have a snow cone together and just, like, reminisce about Austin.
What a great Austin day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, Javi, how are you spending your day with Leslie Cochran?
It's going to be really before sunrise, so we will be running into each other on a train, then discussing literature. I'm sure Leslie has great takes. And we're going to spend the whole day just talking about interpersonal relationships, which Leslie's got some wild views on.
I got to say, I love the simplistic beauty of a day spent riding a bike. Mm. Buy some water, I think I remember. So I got to go with Charlie. Sorry.
It's fair. No, it's okay.
Wow. So, Charlie, you are the winner of this episode of Creating
God.
Quiz Time.
My first time playing on the pod, and I won! I just want to thank everybody who's led me to this moment.
As the founder and creator of this game, I'll say thank you. Wow, y'all, I feel like we could have added some more time to our fast friendships conversation because that game went by real fucking fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you will have a part two one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should.
I like that.
Yeah, we did a fast dive into fast friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How meta.
Well, Austin Pride's coming up, y'all, so make sure to save that on your calendars. And if you haven't, make sure to check us out on Instagram. I don't know, do y'all have any plugs before we wrap this bad boy up?
No.
This is the thing I usually plug.
No. Say I love you to someone who you really love and not mean it.
Incredible.
Hydrate.
Incredible. Yeah. Stay hydrated. Awesome.
Hydrated. Plug for water.
Plug for water. Also, plug for Oscar, who ended up quieting down and left us to do our thing.
Mm-hmm. Are we concerned?
You know, yeah. I think what's going to happen is I'm going to go into my bedroom after we wrap and something will be on the floor.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, from all of us here in the Koreatown Clubhouse, thank you for hanging out with us. And go be your beautiful self.
Go for the rush.
Bye.
Well, that's all, folks. Queertown is a Hey Kerwick production. Each episode is lovingly produced by yours truly and Kristen Washington. Our editor is Drewski Hewlett, and our project manager is Elizabeth Easterly. Visit Queertown on Instagram and Twitter for more updates on today's episode. Thanks for being here, and thanks for being queer. Bye, babes. Thank you.